Okay. Thank the Lord for that wonderful hope that we have. Take your Bibles this morning and be turning to Exodus chapter number 32. And then as soon as you find that, if you'd stand with me, please, for just a little bit of scripture reading. Exodus chapter number 32. And I want to read verse 7 and 8. And then we'll go over to chapter 33 and read just a few verses there. Before we do that reading, I want to say thank you for the privilege of being here today. It's kind of been a habit this time of year for me to come and fill in for your wonderful pastor and his wife. And I hope you know how blessed you are to have a good pastor and pastor's wife. And I remind people everywhere I go, you don't know what you have till you don't have what you have. So take good care of them so you'll always have them, amen? And so it's an honor to be here today. I love this church. I love your spirit and your heart for God, and it's always exciting to be here. I just wish that one year I could come and it not be right after having surgery. Last year I was here after having hip surgery, and then 3 weeks ago I had back surgery. And so I don't know, something about this church and me, I get beat up every time before I come. Maybe the Lord's trying to keep my heart pure and clean to preach to a good church like this. Exodus chapter 32 and verse number 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I have commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Chapter 33, and beginning in verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, Unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, and the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of thee. For thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned. And no man did put on him his ornaments. For the Lord had said unto Moses, Say unto the children of Israel, Ye are a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee, notice now, in a moment, and consume thee. Therefore now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. Father, we pray you'll bless now as we look this morning at your word. I pray, Father, for the anointing of thy spirit, as has already been requested, and Father, that you might use me to speak to your people. Lord, we pray this might not be just another day to clock in at the church, not just another day to sit through a sermon, not just another day to hear but not really hear, and to hear but not really receive. But yet, Lord, today that the Word of God would be easily taken into our hearts and quickly received, and we might be hearers and doers of thy Word. And so we pray you'd help us today as we look at this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to preach to you this morning on the subject, Put Off Thy Ornaments. Put off thy ornaments. I'll say more about that in just a moment and explain what I believe the Scripture is teaching here in this great passage of Scripture. But we have found the children of Israel in a state of disobedience, a state when they are not worshiping God, but in fact, after the blessings of God in their life, they are claiming the power of little g gods. In other words, those which are not gods at all, for delivering them out of the land of Egypt. We know in chapter number 3 of Exodus how God, the angel of the Lord, appeared unto Moses, and I believe that's what the Bible describes as a Christophanes, the angel of the Lord there, being a picture of Christ in the Old Testament. And he appears to Moses and says to deliver the people out of bondage. Go up and say to Pharaoh, let my people go. We know what all God did to make that happen. The water being turned to blood and frogs all over the ground and lice. When I pinned these things down and wrote lice, I started to itch. Thinking about, all right, people are already scratching back there. Swarms of flies and boils and hail and fire and locusts and darkness all over the land. And then we know the Passover where the eldest child was slain. And so God brings all these plagues, and through that, the children of Israel are delivered, and they begin. It's funny, you're going through journeys in Sunday school. They begin a journey in the wilderness by a pillar of cloud during the day and by fire at night. And we know the story, how the Egyptians pursue them, and they are drowned. God protected his people. And I want to say, in the midst of the craziness of the day in which we live, we need to be really careful that we don't get discouraged and defeated and depressed and get our eyes on circumstances, but rather on the God of those circumstances. In other words, we need to be thankful this morning that God is our deliverer. Amen. He is our strength. And so the children of Israel are blessed by God. When they got water, God provides them water at the sweet water of Morah. And yet the Bible says the children of Israel continue to murmur. Can I just stop here? I'm not going to preach a message this morning on murmuring, but that's what Aaron did. That's what Miriam did. That's what infected the people of Israel, and they became a murmuring nation. But I will just say this before I go on this morning, that as I travel this country, I see a lot of murmuring going on in our churches. We need, can I say this gently, but yet with a little bit of passion this morning, we need to come to church not to measure each other, or as said in Sunday school, compare ourselves among ourselves, by ourselves, but rather that we might honor our wonderful Savior. Amen. That we might glorify Almighty God. And so they begin to murmur and want water and begin to cry out and say, where is God? I mean, I've heard people in churches recently say, why is God allowing all this? Can I help you this morning to know that God is 100% in control? He has never been caught by surprise. He knows what's going on, and he is still our deliverer. Amen. But Israel has gotten in a terrible way, and God gives them the Ten Commandments. Now, I don't have time really to pursue this morning, but I want to just say to you, I believe as children of God, especially those of us who are in an independent Baptist church like this, we know what truth is, amen? That was kind of puny. We know what truth is, amen? I mean, we know we've got the Word of God. God gave us his word, as he did the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 6 when he gave the laws and the statutes and the commandments and showed them what the judgments would be if they did not do the things that they ought to do. And so God gives them here his word, and he gives them the tabernacle where they can come, and the Shekinah glory of God will come, and there'll be a cloud there, and God himself will meet with his people. And yet we find the people of God continuing to murmur. They've been delivered out of bondage. They've been delivered across the sea. They've been given water at the rock of Marah. They've been given bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh from God in the evening. And yet we come to Exodus chapter 32 where we first read. I invite your attention back to 32 verse 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, get thee down For thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have what? They have corrupted themselves. Can I just say this today? The greatest concern I have right now for our country is that we do not understand that we must have an old-fashioned, heaven-sent revival if America is going to be saved. Amen? It is not going to happen Tuesday, although I've already voted, and I think I have voted morally and biblically in my vote, not party-wise. Can I just say this? Get this party thing out of your mind. Vote godly, amen? Vote morally. This is not really a political thing. It's a moral issue, and I believe in doing that. But I'm telling you what we need is to get our churches to be stirred up in our heart. That will get us up out of our seats and get us down to an old-fashioned altar and have us to see ourselves for who we are. Amen? The truth is, when we really worship God and we see God for who He is, we'll see ourselves for who we are. We'll understand what needs to be done in our heart. The Bible says they corrupted themselves. That means that those who had God had chosen to be righteous, that is, right with God, had become unrighteous or not right with God. They had corrupted themselves. They had violated the Word of God. God had told them what the way was, but they quickly departed out of the way. I'm telling you, it's amazing to me as I watch people who've been in church 20 and 30 and 40 years, and they can sit in church and hear the preacher, and I know your preacher. He doesn't mess around. He preaches the Word, amen? But they can sit under that kind of preaching over and over and over and sit it and justify themselves and somehow make it feel okay that they are not doing what God has commanded them to do. Oh, that God might strike our hearts this morning and that we'd see the sin that we have in our heart. For all have sinned. That's me. That's you, friend. All have sinned and we come short of the glory of God. And when we know there's sin in our heart, we need to get that right. The Bible says they corrupted themselves. Would you go with me to the book of Colossians in the New Testament, please? The book of Colossians. And in the book of Colossians, chapter number 2, Paul warns us about getting corrupted. You say, well, you know, Israel, that was horrible what they did. Hey, hello, it's horrible when we do it too, amen? It's horrible when we don't live righteous lives. In chapter 2 and verse 8, he said, beware, beware lest any man spoil you. Now, I'm going to say something really hard this morning. I hope I don't get thrown out, but I'm just going to say it anyhow, all right? We have got to stop letting our children be brought up by educators who are telling them all of these sinful things that they can change their sex. Come on, help me out. We got to stop this business of letting educators. You say, well, I'm an educator. Well, see me afterwards. I want to talk to you, okay? I want you to know that I love you. If you're doing a good job, praise the Lord for you. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of education going on out there that is telling our children that that little baby is nothing but a blob of tissue. They're telling our children that God's not real. They're telling our children they can change their gender. They're telling our children that America is just systemically racist, and they're destroying a generation of young people. And I say, parents, we've got to wake up and save this generation by taking them to the Word of God and teaching them what God wants them to know. Amen? What God wants them to know. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, he said, beware lest any man spoil or corrupt you through philosophy. Here's what philosophy is. It's man's way or man's thoughts over God's thoughts. Now think about this. Well, what do you believe about X, Y, or Z? It doesn't matter what I believe. It matters what God says. The truth is, our churches are full this morning of people who do not know what they believe. They do not know the content of the Word of God. I don't want to beat anybody up this morning, but if I would just grab a microphone and start walking the aisles this morning and just stick it in front of your face and say, where are you reading in your Bible right now? How long has it been since you've read through the Bible? How long has it been since you've studied the commandments of God and the judgments of God? How long has it been since you've seen what God wants you to do in your Christian life? I'd say this church would be above average, but I still believe this morning there'd probably be some embarrassed people who sit here every week and yet your heart is not in tune with God. Beware lest the philosophy of this world get your attention. Amen. He said not only that, because it will spoil you, but he says, and then he says, and the tradition of man. That's not man's thoughts, but man's ways. What has become acceptable? You know, years ago, I've been preaching 55 years now, and so years ago I thought that the end time would be mostly marked by sodomy, you know, the last days and all of that, and it's true, but we've gone way beyond any of that. And all of those things have become almost normalized. I said almost normalized in this society, and can I say even accepted in many of our churches. I've preached the Word of God and had people come up after service and say, listen, I didn't appreciate what you said about sodomy. I have someone in my family. And I said, listen, I'll pray for that someone in your family, but it's never right to do wrong. It's never right. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter this morning. We must do what God has told us to do. Our lifestyle ought to exemplify a picture of walking in the Spirit of God. Amen? And then he talks about here in chapter 2 and verse 8, the rudiments of the world. He says, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. In other words, this world, they're after our kids. Amen? I don't have time to really get deep into this morning, but these kids on all of these social medias and the things that are happening. And right now, I just preached in Kansas City, what, maybe 3 months ago, honey? And the song leader, I met him personally for the first time. And I mentioned in my message about all the drugs coming across the border and how our kids are being attacked by this. And he said, may I talk to you privately? And I said, yes. He said, I volunteer here at the church. He was quite a good song leader. And he said, but I volunteer. He said, my real job is I'm the head of the drug enforcement for the state police in Kansas. And he said, boy, you're not kidding. They began to put these little colored tablets out, you know, that looked like candy. It was fentanyl. And one teacher saw a little bag in the public school she taught in. And she checked to see what it was. And when she opened it up, just the inhalation from it caused her to immediately fall almost dead. Thankfully, there was a resource officer that had Narcan and was able to give her a shot and revive her and take her to the doctor. But they're after our kids with this. By the way, this is all coming in from China. It's coming in from China to Mexico, coming across our border with all of this herd of people, many of which have nothing good intended for America. Amen? Now you say, why are you saying these things this morning? I'm saying our country has become stiff-necked, and we're just whatever. Let anything happen that you want to have happen. Whatever you feel good doing, do it. In truth, this is exactly what the Scripture said would happen when it said evil would become good and good would become evil. And that's right where we're at this morning. Now God says, I'm not happy with that. Go to chapter 33 of our text again this morning as I summarize my message. Exodus chapter 33. Notice what he says here. In Exodus chapter 33 and verse number 5, it says, for the Lord had said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, ye are a stiff-necked people. Now look, do me a favor. When preacher comes home, don't tell him I said you were all a bunch of stiff-necked people. get me in trouble. I'm not saying ye are a stiff-necked people, but I am saying there probably are some of ye who are stiff-necked people. There are probably some in our ranks this morning who need to get some things right with God. Maybe with each other. Maybe with society. Now listen to this in verse 5. Ye are a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee. Notice what he says, in a moment. This judgment's going to come really quickly. The Bible says that there was a time when God winked at our ignorance, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Listen, he said it's going to come, and it's going to come in a moment. Now here's what he says I want you to do. I will come up in the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore now put off thy ornaments, that I may know what to do unto thee. Putting off these ornaments is a picture of repentance. It is a picture, in fact, of putting off the pretense of how we've been living our life. Now listen very carefully. The ornaments they put on, I've read several scholars on this trying to make sure I understood the picture, and I thought I did, and I think I do. That these ornaments were the external things that they wore. They were signs of religiosity. You know, the Jews were big about wrapping phylacteries around their arm and certain dress. And these things were put on, these ornaments, these decorations, these outward appearances were put on so that when they went in to the tabernacle, when they went to worship Almighty God, they appeared to be all the way in. They appeared to be fully engaged in worshiping God. But God warns them. He said, I want you to take off the ornaments, because these ornaments were only a picture of external religion and not a picture of obedience to God. They were not a picture of those who had come to really do business with God, but only to appear that they are doing business with God. In Isaiah chapter 58, in fact, we have time, I think. I have about 5 minutes. I think we have time to look at Isaiah 58. Isaiah chapter 58. Would you look with me, please, in verse number 2? Here's what the Jews did in Isaiah 58. They had all of this pretense. Yet they, Isaiah 58 in verse 2, yet they seek me daily, and they delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they. We've afflicted our soul. Oh, we've done all of these things. But look at verse 5. But God says, is it such a fast that I have chosen? Is this what I want out of your life? No, guess what Israel was doing? It was all pretense. It was all external religiosity. But their heart was not right with God. Now this morning, I've been doing this a long time, and I know that there have been times even in my own heart, I've come to church and I wasn't ready to do business with God. I came to church and I had a religious background, and I've been in church since I was 5 days old, and I paid my dues and I came to the house of God. But there was even pretense in my heart because I wasn't really ready to do business with God. And I know this, in an auditorium this size, with a crowd this big, there have to be people here today whose walk has become cold and indifferent with God. There has to be people here today who are struggling with internal sins. And you may have all of the outward appearances of religion, and everybody may greet you and, hey, brother, and hey, sister, and it's good to see you, and I love you, and thank God you're so faithful here at the house of God. But only you know the condition of your heart today. Only you know if there's something that needs to be taken care of. I've preached from one corner of this nation to the other and watched mom sit over here and daughter sit over here, and never the twain would meet. I've watched husbands and wives separate. I've seen children who wouldn't sit with their parents. I've seen people come into church and say, this is my church and nobody's going to kick me out of here. But they sit the whole time angry at the preacher because he didn't do something they thought he ought to do. I see people coming into our churches today that they like the way the preacher preaches, but they don't do anything about what he preaches. They like the style, but I'm telling you, when it pierces their own heart, they do nothing to get it corrected in their life. I want to ask you a question this morning. Is there some pretense in your heart today? Are there some ornaments hanging on you that make you look religious, but in your heart of hearts, you know there's something in your heart you need to get taken care of? Well, I'll say, first of all, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, that's a good place to begin today. If you do not know that if you died today, you'd wake up in heaven, if you're not sure this morning that your sins have been forgiven and Christ has given you a home in heaven, we invite you to come. And someone, there'll be a man here for the men and a lady here for the ladies, someone to deal with you out of the Scripture and help you know that you have eternal life. And then, church people, this morning, if things aren't right between you and the Lord, can I just say this? The most miserable people I meet are those who just won't give up their sin, just won't get their hearts right with God. Oh, I plead with you, come today. I'm not doing this. I'm not going to be taking pictures of you while you're praying so I can send them out somewhere and say, whoa, look at it, we had a big altar response. No, I'm just pleading with America. Let's look at our heart today. Let's see really what needs to be done. If there's some bad attitude, if there's some gossip, if there's some murmuring, if there's some hatred toward others, if there's some strife, if there's some immorality, some civil disobedience, whatever it might be, let's get it right with God, because God says this. He says, in a moment I will come and consume thee. But if you'll put off your ornaments, if you'll put away the pretense, I'll know what to do with you. And I'll tell you what he does with us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Amen. And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Would you stand with me, please? We're going to have a couple of verses played through on the instruments in just a moment. Our heads are bowed, please, and our eyes are closed. I wonder if there's anyone this morning in the auditorium that would say, Brother Turner, I have to tell you this morning, I'm not sure if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure my sins are forgiven, but I'd like you to pray for me this morning. Brother Turner, I promise you I wouldn't come back and embarrass you, but I'd like to pray for you. Is there anyone like that this morning? Here's my hand, preacher. Just wave it at me. You don't need to say a word. I need prayer this morning. Thank you, sir. God bless you. I'm just not sure that I know Christ as my Savior. I wonder then if there's some believers that say, Brother Turner, you hit it right on the nail head today. There's some things others may not even know about my heart, but I know it. And God knows it this morning. He's asking me, I know, to lay aside the ornaments, the pretense. Would you pray with me, Brother Turner, when you pray this morning, that I could get this squared away in my heart? Yes, God bless you, and God bless you. Yes, and God bless you, and you. Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. The instrument's going to begin to play. Even from up there in the balcony, you can at least kneel there or come pray here at the altar. Some have come and already gone back. If God's spoken to your heart today, come on, let's get this right with God. Would you slip out and come? If you're not sure Christ is your Savior, come, let us just open the Bible with you. Would you come and let us open the Bible? Listen, he said, in a moment I'm going to come. We don't know when the Lord's going to come. We don't know when he's going to come. It could be before this service is over. Oh, what a great opportunity we have right now to do business with God. Would you come? Would you come? I'd be happy to pray with you. Others are here who can pray with you. Come on, that's right. Just keep coming. That's right. God's speaking to hearts. We're going to be patient. We'll not have a long invitation. We'll respond as you respond. We'll respond. How about it? Would you come? Would you come? Oh, America needs a revival of putting off our ornaments. Putting off our ornaments. One more verse through, please. How about it? There's still time to come. There's still time to come. God's doing some work here this morning. We're thankful for that. Would you let God have His way? Brother, lead us in a verse of invitation. I surrender all.